of Christmases Long, Long Ago is my new book, arriving for the 2025 Christmas season. Find out what Christmas was like centuries ago. Sneak preview, it was weird, and spooky, and rowdy, kind of gross sometimes. Find it wherever books are sold, in hardcover from Lions Press, and audiobook from Recorded Books. It's Christmas as you've never seen it before, and it makes a great gift. I'm Brian Earle. This is Christmas Past. The fields lay silent under the late December night sky. And in the dark stood a man, tending to his work by night, his breath curling white into the cold air. It could have been any cold winter's night. The air was sharp, the sky black and brittle, glittered with stars. These lights in the firmament moved predictably, like the turning of a great celestial wheel, announcing the seasons, marking the passage of time. The heavens were a hymn sung in perfect harmony, forming patterns and shapes that made the ancients think of gods and monsters. A cosmic clockwork older than any civilization that could observe it. But tonight wasn't just any cold winter's night, because tonight, a new star appeared in the sky, bright, unmistakable, and out of place. The old books had spoken of signs in the heaven, of celestial messengers heralding great change. And this star, too, had been foretold by wise men, and its appearance would attract yet more wise men soon after, eager to pay homage. But for now, for tonight, there was just the man in the field, looking up at yonder star, struck with awe and wonder, a quickened pulse, a trembling surge of emotion, an awareness that this strange object shining in the night sky fulfilled a prophecy and announced a new age, a new world. This is a Christmas story, but it's not the one you think it is. It doesn't take place more than 2,000 years ago, or in the countryside outside Bethlehem. And the wise men who came before and after the appearance were not mystics or astrologers or kings. And the object shining miraculously in the night sky, it wasn't the Star of Bethlehem. This story begins on Christmas Day in England in 1642 and ends on a farm in Germany on Christmas Day in 1758. That man in the field, Johann Georg Palitzsch, was no shepherd, but a watcher of the sky, a keeper of ancient patterns. A farmer who, in the dim glow of oil lamps, studied astronomy in secret. And when he inherited the family farm, he devoted part of the land to scientific inquiry by building a library and laboratory and museum. The object in the night sky, it had been foretold long before, in calculations scratched out on yellowing pages by a man who wouldn't live to see the truth of them. What Johann Georg Palitzsch saw from his field on Christmas Day was a comet. A comet that visited Earth many times before, had appeared strangely in the night sky, striking the same awe and wonder into observers as far back as 240 BC. Only this time, the exact timing of its arrival had been worked out in advance. A miracle in its own way, just not the kind that defied explanation, the kind that revealed one. Its appearance not a mystery, but a proof. More than 50 years before that night, the wise man foretold of its coming with a scientific paper, explaining how he worked it all out, writing of parabolas and gravitation and orbital mechanics. And in the years that followed, still more wise men, men of science, would rise to honor him. And as Palitzsch stood witness to this certainty, he knew it was indeed a landmark event, the announcement of a new age and a new world. One where unseen heavenly objects could in a sense still be seen, if you knew how to look. This celestial wanderer had gone by many names over the centuries, most recently the Great Comet of 1680. But after tonight, it would go by the name we all know now, Halley's Comet. Comets, these streaking phantoms of the night sky. Visible to the naked eye, they blaze bright, defying the careful order of the cosmos, rewriting the familiar script of the heavens. How could they not capture our attention and imagination? For millennia, we used the stars to tell time, guide our travels, know when to plant and harvest, The perfect regularity of the cycles of the sky was the only guaranteed part of our lives. The constellations, steady and unchanging, offer the comfort of predictability. Orion always hunted, the Pleiades always clustered, the North Star always held its post. But then, something new appears, a stranger in the night. A brilliant streak of light where no light should be, a celestial visitor that doesn't belong. To our ancestors, what else could these be, these fiery visitors, but messages from the divine? Throughout history, comets were taken as omens, portents of war, plague, the fall of kings. They were seen as ruptures in the grand clockwork of the heavens, symbols of upheaval, harbingers of change. And change is rarely met without fear. But eventually, all of this demanded a better explanation. What were they? Where did they come from? Why did they appear and then disappear? Over the millennia, many explanations were offered. Aristotle thought that they couldn't be among the heavens because the heavens were perfect and ordered, and comets disrupted all of that. So he believed that they must be part of our atmosphere, like weather. For centuries, that was the answer. But it wasn't the truth. The truth would arrive by degrees. In the 16th century, we learned that comets are farther away from us than the moon. But for nearly a century after that, we were still dead wrong about the way that they moved in the sky. That brings us back to Christmas. On Christmas Day, in 1642, an English woman named Hannah delivered a baby prematurely. Her husband had died while she was pregnant. She passed his name on to the newborn, Isaac Newton. Little Isaac was too small to be expected to survive, and yet he went on to become a giant. He discovered the laws of motion, and then the universal law of gravitation, and then invented integral and differential calculus, and then he discovered the law of optics, and then he turned 26 years old. In 1687, he published his book, The Principia Mathematica, where he laid it all out, offered the first great unification of physics, showed that the same invisible hand that pulled an apple to the ground was the one that held the moon in its orbit and shaped the tides, swept away any remaining doubt that the Earth went around the sun, showed how things other than planets could and do orbit the sun. The final test was to prove it, to take Newton's equations and predict a comet's return. And that was the work of Newton's friend Edmund Halley. He studied the orbits of many comets, but one caught his attention, the Great Comet of 1680. He realized its path matched those of comets seen in 1607 and 1531. In 1705, he published his claim. They were the same comet, the same traveler returning to our sky every 70-odd years. And if he was right, and if Newton was right, it would return in 1758. Now let's go back to the field in Germany. I said before that this is a Christmas story, but not the one you think it is. Well, actually. We now know that Halley's Comet is the same one seen by ancient Chinese and Roman observers in 12 BC. That's awfully close to the timing of the Nativity story and the Star of Bethlehem. Could it be? Some have said. But that would be just a little too neat and too perfect, wouldn't it? And anyway, the leading theory today is that the Star of Bethlehem was actually an object orbiting Jupiter. Besides, the truth is perfect enough. The man who foretold the comet's return didn't live to see it. Halley had been gone 17 years before his prediction was proven right. It was Johann Georg Palach who welcomed a new age, one where it was as though someone had taken the lid off of life and let us see the works, where superstition was in retreat, where universal laws made the unseen and the unknown and the unpredictable seeable and knowable and predictable. On that night in 1758, when a celestial wayward came home for Christmas. One of my favorite Christmas gifts I received growing up was a telescope that my parents bought at Sears. I've always had a fascination with astronomy and constellations and things like that. My dad did too, and now so does my son. I remember watching the original Cosmos series on PBS in the 1980s. And as a matter of fact, through that series, Carl Sagan has become a major influence on my style of writing. you might pick up on some traces of that in the stories I'm telling you this season. Speaking of writing influences, there's one line in this story that I just told that I have to give credit for. The one where I say it was as though someone had taken the lid off of life and let us look at the works. That was lovingly appropriated from the one and only Dashiell Hammett. It's a line from The Maltese Falcon. If you've never read any of his work, maybe start with The Thin Man, which takes place during Christmas. Christmas Past is produced in wonderful Willow Glen, California, by yours truly, Brian Earle. There's much more to come this season, so make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss anything, including the special episodes I'll be putting out throughout the season dedicated just to you and your Christmas memories. So send those memories my way while there's still time. All you have to do is record yourself speaking into your phone's voice memo app and send it to christmaspastpodcast@gmail.com. Keep it reasonably short, clean, and family-friendly, and be sure to say your name and where you're from. You can reach out to me anytime, whether it's with a memory, just to say hello, or to tell me how much you're enjoying my new book, available at fine booksellers everywhere. And look for Christmas Past on your favorite social media platform. If you don't see me there, and you think I should be, get in touch to let me know. Again, I'm at christmaspastpodcast@gmail.com. And hey, if you're really feeling the Christmas spirit, why not help more people discover this show? It's as simple as telling a friend about it or leaving a rating and review. If you do leave a review, I'll send you a Christmas Past sticker, and a handwritten Christmas card is my way of saying thanks. Reach out for details. And until we meet again, may your days be merry and bright.